You got 1 minute.
Well, that's good enough, because we got everybody on the committee who is going to be here, because Manajo sent a letter that said she's cannot make it because she has a Clearwater board meeting that she cannot miss.
So where does she get paid? Oh,
anyway. Wait, what?
Where does she get paid?
Both.
What?
Both. Okay, I withdraw that motion.
Are you voting for the raise?
No, all right. You all got the minutes of the meeting, the last meeting. Any additions, corrections, omissions, deletions, or do we approve as presented? Any moves?
No.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion? Favor?
Aye.
Carried.
There's lead in this water. There's a sinker at the bottom of it.
There is, I see you have resolutions, which is new business. Wouldn't that normally come after this? Or
no,
it doesn't
it's
matter.
Resolutions, then old, then new. Resolutions first.
Resolutions first, okay. The only official resolution that we have today, resolution 297, an info policy for the controller. Now, it seems to me that there's a lot of people interested in this, but okay. I have been told that the attorneys have discussed the policy informally and believe that this type of regulation should be accompanied by a local law. And I think if that, in fact, is the case, it would be senseless to pass anything tonight or have a whole lot of discussion on it. But if anybody wants to discuss it, it's resolution 297. You got it in your packet. A policy for Ulster County Office of the Controller that governs the accessibility and timeliness of information and records possessed by various departments, offices, units, and programs of the county. And it was offered by Legislator Donaldson at the request of the controller. It says, whereas pursuant, and you know, I don't have to read it unless you all want me to read it.
It's a policy. It's a resolution to change a policy. It's not actually a local law. And we're not going to have we wouldn't have a public hearing on it. We wouldn't have a public hearing on this resolution.
Right.
If we were to act on it tonight, it would go to the floor.
Right. But the note I got from the lawyers said, I don't know if you've been involved in this discussion.
I have not.
But some of the legislative lawyers have said that they feel it should be, they're not opposed to this, they feel it should be a local law.
Oh, a local law. So
they feel it should be a local law. Now, I haven't, it's not my resolution, but I think if we move, no matter what we do, we should tell Donaldson, tell Dave, and let him go chat with the lawyers. And
we could just take no action on it.
Is there any reason why they said local law instead of policy?
Listen, they really didn't talk to me about it. Did you talk to anybody, Jay?
I'll give you an example, though, of like things between a policy and a local law. Okay, we state that a policy that you have to do this, that, and the other thing, and they can interpret that policy any way they want as long as they give us the information that we want and need. A local law is, it's more of a binding issue. One of the things that I had an issue with a couple of years ago, and I think all of us legislators do, is we don't have permission from the county executive to ask department heads information. We have to go through the county executive's office. Now, we don't have a policy, and we could probably create a policy to state that the legislature has a fiduciary responsibility to this county, and we can ask any department head any question we need in order to make sure that this county's, you know, the county's departments are run efficiently. I asked for information about from the health department once about the turbidity levels in the Hudson River at the Esopus water plant, and I was told I had to foil that information. Now, isn't that silly? As a legislator, I couldn't get that information. I had to foil it. I got it from my water superintendent anyway. He gave it to me. I didn't have to foil it from him. But a policy is different than a local law. And I mean, this is pretty narrow, but I think a local law would probably solidify the ends to the means better than a policy.
A local law. Okay,
maybe.
Well, you were at least at this point saying.
Well, now I'm thinking about it because they can interpret things very. Here's another thing. One other thing. A couple years ago, I submitted a resolution that would require the county's personnel department to produce a personnel report, and it was very specific about it. New hires, terminations, department transfers, part-time people, an accounting of all the, you know. They didn't want to do the local law, and it failed in committee, never actually went to the floor. So now they agreed that they're going to do that, but they're not, they don't do it in a timely manner. They don't do it every month.
I'll call the judge tomorrow. Okay.
A local law would require them to do that. So, yeah.
Rich?
You know, Carl, I understand what you're saying, but at the end of the day, it's the legislator's fault because we shouldn't be taking action on resolutions if we don't get the information we need. You know, if they say you can't talk to a department head, and I've had this, I've called the highway superintendent and she refuses to call me back on simple, non-like policy questions, just about a road and a timetable or questions. She refuses to call me back, refuses to answer my question, anything. But we still go ahead and pass resolutions fixing roads and paving roads. If we put an end to it and put a stack over there and say, you know what, you're not getting anything until you start returning phone calls for legislators, you don't need a local law, you need a policy. You just need legislators to say, we can't pass these resolutions because our questions haven't been answered. And you know what? The policy would stop tomorrow as soon as...
Well, I can tell you, in economic development and tourism last year in law enforcement, if they don't show up, we don't entertain the resolution. No. It gets put off till next following month.
But, in law enforcement, because I was on that committee, you're dealing with mostly elected officials. You're dealing with Ben Barkum, you're dealing with Holly, who don't have the same policy.
But they don't always send somebody or probation, and we put it off till the following month. And after they don't have a couple of things looked at and they got to wait a month, it's amazing how they show up.
You're right. But both of those, I mean, at least Paul, Sheriff Ben Barkum, will say, call my undersheriff, call me, call the captain. They're available 24/7 to answer questions for you guys.
Right, but if they don't come to the meeting.
No, right.
That's my point. If they don't come to the meeting, they're shit out of luck for another month.
But you know what? If it was something crazy important, and at least from the office up here, you're going to get a petition to discharge because there's 7 or 8 people. You know, I'm just saying, you know, it's.
But generally, those other ones. I mean, the one of the observations of this is it was sort of aimed at one department, executive. Maybe it should be applied to everybody, the sheriff, the clerk, the DA, et cetera.
For 15 years, I was the FOIL officer in different correctional facilities I worked in. We had 5 days to respond to a FOIL request, and that was just a response that you received it. You didn't always have to give it, give them all the information based on the scope of the request. You know, I look at this as, you know, we're shooting the horse because it didn't win the first race. I mean, give me some examples of where you had to wait a long time or, you know, because we're just creating more government here. So give me an example of.
Well, I'll tell you, I asked, without foiling, how much have we spent, the county dollars and cents, on payroll and outside expenses on the rail trail?
Yeah, I understand all that, John. But
I can't get an answer.
But you didn't put in the resolution. The comptroller did.
Okay.
Through Dave. So, again, just like as this committee is charged with looking at other laws that we passed or policy things that we passed that, you know, do we even need them kind of a thing, well, I guess I'd say the same thing here. You know, why are we passing a policy or possibly a local law, as Carl said, if it's a non-entity, or is this just, you know, one agency, one compartment saying, you know, I want what I want when I want it. And
I can't answer that, but you said what you do with the law enforcement, if they're not there, doesn't happen. If you go to the buildings and grounds or whenever those, they'll just pass it anyway. They often will.
Right.
So,
but then they bitch because
Some
Nobody,
people
never,
bitch.
Right.
It's usually the same five
and,
people that
right.
bitch.
And
the
so
other 18 don't give a crap
right.
because
so,
they just...
And so what I always say to them is, well, do like we do. If they don't, if we ask them, right. Jay puts out the, sends them an email, and if they don't show up, I guess your resolutions wait till next month.
Well, we should all stick to that.
All right.
Well, let's pass a resolution. If the department head does not show up to a meeting, they get no resolutions on the agenda for the month. Can we do that?
We're getting away from this.
Why? That's the same thing.
Oh, okay. Well, this is narrow to the comptroller's office and the ability of the comptroller to do audits on the departments. This is not, I mean, legislators asking for information, that's a whole other ball of wax, and I'm unhappy with that. But this is our comptroller, whose sole job it is to audit the books of the county, audit the department heads, make sure, you know, the efficiency is there and that proper procedures are being done. And if it takes too long for him to get that information, he becomes ineffective.
True. So
I don't know.
Before we
details.
Pass a law, tell me when you couldn't do your job effectively because you were delayed.
Go ahead.
I'll speak to that for a moment. The way the charter is written, it says unfettered access to the books, records, and materials of the county at any time. Now, that is up for interpretation, depending who you want to ask. So, right now, the protocol that's in place says, basically, 10 days response time. And after that, they basically get unlimited response time based on certain criteria. So, what we're finding routinely in practice with when we request information of a department, they wait the full 10 days. And then, when that 10 days is up, few of people who we may ask information of, that info that's presented might be just enough to say we complied with your request, here it is right now, but then inevitably a follow-up is required. So they gave us half of it, we're looking for the other half. Or now in this kind of time frame, departments are getting going with budget study. So we've reached out to them with a couple of just short, small, concise requests, either to sign a document, but right now we've been doing bank confirmations and dealing with management letters. And these are little things. And we get back, sorry, we're too busy right now. And in our minds, that flies in the face with our ability to conduct a meaningful review or present information on a timely basis, especially when we have technically access at any time. So we need it a little bit more short up.
Okay, so I apologize for interrupting, but I'm going to anyway. All right, good. So we passed this. What's it get you?
It puts the timelines.
Okay, but I'm not doing it anyways. So to hell with you. I'm not doing it. So where is it? Where does it put you?
At least it's then we subpoena. At that point.
Okay, then we subpoena after 10 days. I just think that I know the tape's on. But this is bullshit. Is what it is.
On whose end?
The comptroller's end. It's bullshit.
Well, here's my opinion.
Well, how much work did he do on all the tax, the county tax, how much millions of dollars we bring in taxes, and he puts it out, and 32 people jumped through the computers because all his information was wrong. So maybe you should have waited a little longer for the right information. But, again... Come to me and tell me, look, I'm having an issue with this, and let's address that, as opposed to this blanket thing of, you've got to respond to me in 3 days, and within 5 days I have to have it. I think it's hogwash.
Well, can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
I would assume that the controller's office would have a login and password to any financial networks the executive has.
That's
you
enough.
Can go in as an employee.
That's another issue, is our ability to access certain records, certain pieces of the financial system that we do have, by and large, access, but when there is something new, when there's a new record uploaded, routinely we have to go back to the Department of Finance for the ability to access that.
As soon as it's in there, you should have access to it.
And we don't.
Well, that's crazy. I mean, you know what? If somebody goes in and fiddles, your fingerprints are on the login and password. They know who did it. If somebody manipulates anything.
Something as simple as trying to identify individual user login account information. There's one instance of us reaching out downstairs. A month goes by, the individual was on vacation, was supposed to be passed on to another person. And again, without prodding, that month went by, and finally, after numerous rounds, okay, it was individual X and Y who have access to it. So these are little things that routinely can get held up in the works if the prodding isn't necessarily there.
Hmm. Seems to me that the, you know, the charter is really the law when it comes to procedure. And if the charter states that you have unfettered access anytime you ask for it, I mean, that's really what it should be. It shouldn't be interpreted as, oh, no, you know, you're going to have to wait 10 days for initial response and then the 21 days. It seems to me, look, this is the circle of trust, and that's you, right? That's basically, and you're the comptroller's office. You're part of this government. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be, you shouldn't have to jump through hoops to get information.
It casts a cloud of suspicion when a week or two goes by and suddenly we get something that might have only taken 30 seconds to pull up.
I mean, whenever there's a dispute between the legislature and the executive branch and it comes down to the charter always wins. They've got the lawyers, they got the staff, and the charter always wins.
And that's what we wanted to solidify, because the way the current practice has unfolded, we've uncovered some deficiencies, and we've currently removed ourselves from that protocol as it is right now. But that was last year's doing, and in practice, 10 days isn't the immediate access to information.
No. That's 10 business days?
Yeah.
So let's see what the attorneys say, if they say law, and we'll go from there. But I'd like to all see how it's written in the charter.
All right. We have a recommendation to do it on a local law. I'd like to maybe get something in writing from our attorney that says this and why.
Can we pass it as a resolution and then make it a local law next month, go through the local law process?
I don't know, Rich. Wouldn't it be just easy to do it? Get some more data. Talk to other folks and see who have been ignored.
Well, why don't we find out? Exactly.
I just said about the railroad. How much did we spend on it? And nobody seems to know. But it gets passed anyway. So, go ahead, Rich. I'm sorry.
No, it should maybe even be more comprehensive, saying that the controller's office has a full login and access 24/7 to all the same materials as the sheriff's office, the every department. You can have your login and password to every department to see everything. If it's data entered now, you see it as it's data entered.
I think they only have to the financials. I don't think they have to everything.
Well, then that's what I meant. Financials in every department.
Then
in every department. Financials in every department. Every department that the health department gets a $200 check from me tomorrow because I wanted somebody to come out to inspect a septic that I'm putting in my new house, they can see that I submitted a $200 check 2 minutes after they cashed a check or it's data entered. Mm-hmm. I don't see why it should take them.
I agree. But, it's like, again, I have a resolution, a possible law sitting in front of me, and I'll be naive for a minute, and this is the first I've heard that there might be an issue. To me, that's a knee-jerk reaction. And we all know that our comptroller is a friend of mine, is very capable of doing that.
Can we put this off next month?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll call. See what they say.
We need to talk to legislative council.
That's correct.
Right. Yeah. I'm trying to find the comptroller's office in the charter. I can't find it because I wanted to just see where they are. They took it out.
Did somebody make a motion to postpone, or what are you guys doing?
C-57, powers and
duties. Anyone want to make a motion to postpone it? For a week, for a month.
Well, wait. TJ had a question about the chapter there.
Oh, what bill?
Well, we can do that next, as long as we get it for next month.
Can
that's
you
fine.
Put down like some things that would help make your guys' job easier to access information?
Oh yeah.
You know, like require getting usernames and passwords for every financial.
That's a significant job.
Here's where it says. I mean, here's basically what it says. Section A of section C-57. It says that the purpose to have access to all such books, records, and accounts at any time, except where precluded by law. The comptroller, you know, blah, blah, blah. So examine, audit, and verify books and records, boom, boom, boom. It says at any time.
Yeah, that's clear.
Purpose.
Yeah.
This purpose to have access
so then
to all
10 days
books, records, and accounts at any time.
I don't know what his action is if that's not meant, but...
Well, by law.
I have to get sued.
Precluded by law. If there was like a lawsuit or something and it was client turn privilege.
Have a concern.
Well, names and social security numbers and things like that could be excluded.
So
usually in nonprofit circles, things aren't considered books until there's been a data entry process. So I don't, you know, the same general accounting principles that nonprofits have to operate under, I would think those would be good guidelines. So 10 days sounds pretty quick. I mean,
that's not immediate. The thing says immediate. To me, immediate is 2 seconds.
Right, immediate access to any materials. But right. Things that are inputted as data but have not yet been reviewed by anybody are not usually,
once
at
they're
least
inputted,
as I understand
once they're inputted, he can have it.
Right. I mean, we are government. We're not nonprofit. That's a different, that's different rules. I mean, we're doing a public's business. 10 days is a long time.
Yep. And even with HIPAA stuff, if he needs that information to do whatever he does, then he's bound by HIPAA as well. You can always have HIPAA. You can have medical information as long as it's within the scope of your duties. So he could get all that information, and
right,
he's bound.
By the same
but then
laws
he's
as the
bound by confidentiality,
entered.
Just as the doctor, the nurse, or the EMS provider. So,
well, let's take one segment of the county comptroller's duties that is never in arrears, and that's when you have to sign the vouchers. You always get the vouchers on time because they're tied to the resolutions or they're tied to the payment of services for the county. No one's ever withholding a voucher from you. They got that right on. Boom, every month. Boom. They're waiting for your signature. Come on, Elliot, where's your signature? We've got to move this thing along. What about the, you know, highway department? We need to look at the records. Oh, we'll look at them to you eventually. 10 days, and there's not the right records, and then you have to ask again. That's not efficient government. And you're supposed to be the watchdog of the county. At least that's what the office is, and the office is being reduced to jumping through hoops to get information when they should have it right away. I mean, I'm beating a dead horse, but...
All right, what's the pleasure? Shall we postpone it for a month? And then we'll move to postpone it. Second.
Yep.
Discussion. In favor?
Aye.
Carried. We have done just a few little issues of old business. If you remember, the legislature passed a resolution to reimburse the towns in Ulster County for flood mitigation work in the wake of Hurricane Irene and whatever the other storm was. I've been told that the town of Shandaken got their money, Denning got their money, Ulster got their money. So it looks like it's moving on pretty well. If in fact the rest of them did, it would be Lloyd, Saugerties. Who else, you know? In any event, I think it's proceeding well. For Denning, they were particularly happy because that was the amount of money necessary to keep them under the 2%.
It was Hardenberg, Lloyd, Saugerties, Shandaken, and Ulster.
So that appears to have been worked out well. So this is one resolution I don't think we would have to follow up on anymore. I was asked to look into the sustainable loan program, the energy ELP program, EIC program. It was passed back in, October 8th, 2014. From what I found out, They just entered, they just launched the program January 27th of this year. They made a presentation to the Chamber of Commerce, from what I understand. The folks agreed with me when we chatted about it that this entire program, which in essence, if anybody doesn't remember, was where they could borrow some money to put efficiencies in their business, energy efficiencies, and it would be added to the taxes, not necessarily not added onto their loan portfolio.
If they didn't pay.
Pardon?
The county would pick it up. Is this one where the if county would pick it up?
Well, if it would be added onto their taxes. Okay. Now,
I'm thinking of
they are exempt. They're not exempt. By resolution, and everybody who voted for it knew it, Ellenville, New Paltz, Saugerties, and Kingston cannot participate in this program. And everybody knew it, because when we wanted to have the sharing of services, where if somebody in Ellenville or in New Paltz or in Saugerties didn't pay their taxes after 3 years, the county at this point makes it good for everybody else. Everybody knew this and in essence said, we don't care about those communities, and they didn't pass it. But in you know, there's 25% of the county or 20% of the county that can't take advantage of it. But that's neither here nor there. The fact of the matter is the paperwork is in place. They're looking at this as an economic development tool, not an environmental program. The fact is it wants to be, they want to become more efficient in energy, but it's jobs. Jobs for contractors, jobs for tradesmen, and savings and expenses. And I do think the folks that I spoke to down there rattled off four or five people who they had spoken to, and there were no tradesmen, nobody in economic development, nobody that was concerned about the job part. They were all folks from the Solar Consortium saving money, but they're going to work to get this program really off the ground and process some applications. They said it could take 4 to 6 months to process the paperwork. 4 to 6 months, if you need a new air conditioner, is a long time to wait, but I guess that's the process. I asked if it could ever be retroactive, and they really didn't have an answer. They really didn't have, they said, well, interesting, an interesting question. I asked about a business that maybe had been closed, because they like to have references to show that if there was a renovation, that it would be saving money, saving energy costs in particular. And I understand if a business, the building was closed for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, they wouldn't necessarily have those financials. But by the same token, they did agree that if you looked at the furnace and it was 45 years old, that it probably would be efficiencies that could justify, if that was the part of the energy savings investment that was being requested. So I just think, Jay, that this is potentially moving along nicely, and maybe you could put this in a tickle file for a year or two from now to see if anybody really takes advantage of it. I mean, I personally think it's a great, great potential for accomplishing a number of things for the business owner.
Well, it's not only business owners, it's also multi-dwelling unit owners.
I didn't hear you, Rich.
It's also multi-dwelling.
Yes,
it's
yes.
It's also residential.
Well, I was just talking about that. It also is, and that's where...
Well, that's where Kingston, Ellenville, New Paltz, and Saugerties, it doesn't make sense excluding them, because they have probably more multi-dwelling units in the county. They probably have 90% of the multi-dwelling units in the county, those four communities. And the idea of this program was to, you know, not only for businesses, but it was for residential people. Usually if they're multi-dwelling, you're not eligible for any funds, you know, or grants or solar energies or tax rebates. They're only for single-family homes. So this was a potential great idea, but I do think we shot ourselves in the foot by excluding them.
Well, we chatted about that, but the legislators very squarely knew that. And voted it. So,
in my opinion, I don't think you're going to get much participation at all. I think if we come back in 6 months or a year, you'll find out that they'll.
Well, we're going to find out.
You can count them on one hand, the number of applicants. And then a year after that, you probably count, probably two people will take advantage of it. I think I think we excluded the most important people that would have taken advantage of it.
Yeah, there.
Where does it say in the local law that they're excluded?
Say that wrong.
Where does it say that Kingston's already using it?
They do not.
Oh, villages and cities?
The city and the village do not be made whole.
Yeah, you were enough.
I was enough.
Well, you thought I had something up my sleeve.
No.
As long as oil is less than $2 a gallon, give or take, nobody's going to worry about it.
Oh, I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
You know what a big thing with it?
Listen, if it were done in Ellenville, I would participate in it.
You know what was a big thing, TJ? Take somebody like my type of business. If I want to go out and borrow $100,000 to put solar in, and then it's on my balance sheet, and when it comes time to borrow money to do something else, whether it be buy a car or a yacht for the Caribbean, well, you already owe this.
Right.
This is added to the tax bill at, let's say, $1,000 a year or $4,000 a year. It's a little like leasing a car. And that's why businesses lease cars, because they don't have to show it as a debt. And that's, I think, as big a benefit on it as you can get. But we'll see where it goes. It's actually moving along fairly well. In terms of the...
It's only been 18 months.
Huh?
It's only been 18 months before they kicked it off after we passed the resolution.
Whatever the deal was, whatever the problem was, I chatted with them at length. I had a very good conversation, and they said they would send me their updates. And they send me the updates. I'll forward it to anyone who might want it. The resolution 128 of 211 that we ran a check on the healthy vending options in the county building. We talked about it last month. I think you all have the packet. What I think we should do would be to send the purchasing director's reflection on it. And he said, yeah, there were some problems with it. But it's, there's some good parts of it. Send it over to the Health and Human Services Committee. It's a healthy choice option. I mean, and let them decide if they want to reject it, modify it, repeal it, or whatever. So,
can I ask a question, John?
Go ahead, sir.
What type of food? I'm just curious because I have no idea. What type of food or beverage would be in those machines?
Doritos would be considered a healthy option.
We have one of our crack members of our group to go around and put their nose up to the glass and try to read what was in them and what wasn't in them and what are considered healthy choices and what aren't. And there's even discrepancies in that because, what is it, granola bars might not be as healthy as,
peanuts,
Snickers.
Some people have allergies.
But we just reported it. We reported it to the purchasing director. He sent back a note saying, yep, we're looking into it. And in the end, he said, I think you should repeal it.
Products.
Well, like you can't have soda, you can't have diet soda. You know, the typical.
It's based on calorie content.
Yeah, typical crap that we should dictate what everybody else eats.
Why can't you just have them side by side?
Well, because
they kind of do.
Limited.
It's 51% of the vending.
Well, this was just a resolution that you may have voted for back in 2011.
Rob was the one that originally brought that.
Yeah,
but if the records are true, vending machine sales are down like 68%.
But the point is,
people want a bag of M&Ms.
If it's not being followed,
still in there.
Either change it
still
or
stuff like that in there.
Repeal it.
Yeah, but
I'm just
people want junk food. They don't really care about the.
Do you look at the one downstairs?
Listen, we no, got a granny society now. You can't have.
Hungry, they're going to find.
But I'm saying, you can't have sodas and
anyway.
I mean, I can tell you, up in Albany, we got a room that's filled with vending machines. Okay. And you've got soda, and you've had juices, you have
I bet they comply.
You have
in the state.
Iced tea, lemonade.
You got everything. Your choice.
And soda's downstairs.
I'll bet they comply up there to the state policy.
I'll bet. I'm just saying. You know, I don't know who buys what. And
listen, it's not a big deal. We checked it out. We'll send it over to the...
Send it to them and let
to
them
the, are you on that committee?
Yes.
No. All right, so you guys can kick it around and do what you got to do.
Yeah, because really...
Read them.
Well, hey, they got peanuts. They got, I mean... I think
the local law backfired on itself because an example was that Doritos is a healthier option because it's lower in calories and lower in trans fat. But the granola bar that you would think would be healthier for you isn't. So it's kind of ludicrous because... Now, I'll go to a vending machine and I'll try to find, you know, a third less calories, fewer calories, whatever. My thing is I buy those Cape Cod potato chips. One third less, you know, whatever.
I'm assuming, for example, you go to a like Fitness Unlimited. If they have a vending machine, they're going to have all healthy types of food in there.
Right, but that's a set venue. Here, a guy goes downstairs, a person goes downstairs, you know, they want a Milky Way bar. Well, there's no space for Milky Way bars because 51% of the space has to be healthy. So there's no Milky Way bar, so now we don't buy a Milky Way bar.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I have no issue. I'm just saying, put the machines next to each other.
Listen, if it's not working, change it to make it work or get rid of it.
I mean,
simple.
I don't think you should have 51%, 48%.
I mean, everything you're doing,
put
the governor, the mayor doesn't want to have 16-ounce sodas. It's like, you know, they only want it to be 14-ounce.
It's McDonald's fault because kids are fat.
Why don't we? Maybe we should just educate people that they're no good. And but it seems like you take everything away from people.
It's called drugs. Everything in being reasonable. It's called kids going out and exercising and playing and doing and stuff like that. And it's called, when I was a kid, except for the holidays, I couldn't even see soda, let alone ever have any. But now it's like, you know, it's the drug of choice. Here, what? Here, take 30.
Everybody's got a choice. The only one to play with me when I was a kid was my dog. You know, but it was my choice.
It's because you had a pork chop bone around your neck.
Yeah, I had a bone around my neck.
Well, otherwise we get rid of all the vending machines and you bring your own lunch. Bring your own snacks.
Bring what?
You bring your own snacks.
All right, what else you got?
Well, I think we do both.
One more.
That's something you guys can decide now.
Yep.
At least we looked into it and we moved on from it.
We moved on.
Okay.
Legal services.
Now, you all got the information here. In essence, we talked, the budget amendments move $50,000 to probation department for domestic violence and legal services and $15,000 to the Office for the Aging for Elder Legal Services. Invoices for the aging are attached. No money for this has been used so far for the probation department.
The Office of the Aging has used, what is it, say, 20,007 thus far.
Can I ask a question about that?
Go ahead.
Does that go out to bid for attorneys, or is it a
No, they just put it in the budget. I don't know how they get their counsel.
I think it's counsel that they use.
Is it outside counsel?
I think so, yeah. I think it's counsel they've used in the past, and they charged $100 an hour.
Can I just classify
for all the aging? I can get my will done for $100 an hour.
Can I ask a question? I mean, do they go out to offer it? I'm just curious. I mean, how do you become a vendor for them? I mean, is it a bidding process? Do you know?
I have no idea.
I would just think professional services do not have to be bid. They can be. So if there's enough money,
so
maybe it should be.
So if somebody would do the job for $60 an hour, they could hire somebody at $140.
They can, probably.
So,
but that's interesting for somebody to follow up who is, you know, some of us wanted to put that to the legal aid people. And it was a big brouhaha that it didn't happen. So it was put in.
For $30 an hour, I'll do it. It might not mean anything. But
just tell them to plead.
Yeah.
No, not, that
this is wills and
that's all they're doing.
This is wills and
this is wills. Healthcare proxies.
Healthcare proxies and
hours of attorney.
and power of attorneys.
Now, they're all getting the same thing, yet they're charging different.
They're monthly.
Hours.
They're monthly. One person, they might do 20 hours one month, 14 another month. They might have 10 people one month, six the next month.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's how I interpret it anyway.
But your question is legit in that, you know, it's not the same as assigned counsel, but do you do the same assigned counsel all the time who are always outstanding or friends of a friend, or how does it happen? So everybody always used to complain about Supreme Courts and how a case got assigned and they came up with a wheel, you know, and the wheel spins and it's one after the other and until somebody is recluse. So,
Jake, can we find out?
Huh?
Can you find out how?
I wrote down.
Carl, would you look into that a little bit?
No, we got Jay doing that.
Want to?
Jay's on.
No, and what I want to do is find out. You know, so here's like on one submission on 3-2, 3 hours. Another one on 3-7, 2 hours. So, are you getting all your legal representation in 2 hours?
Sure.
Well, it's a will. It's a will and a healthcare proxy. They're like no-brainers.
It's just meeting.
They're all Blumberg forms that they just fill in the blanks, essentially.
Oh.
There might be some problems if the person's incompetent.
Right. Well, you have the doctor's notices, right?
Yeah, but other than that, they're all
cookies.
Basic. They're all Blumberg forms.
Then you go to the power of attorney.
Yeah. Christ. You know how many power of attorneys I notarized when I was in prison?
I mean, I think it's a worthwhile service.
I notarize it.
For residents. I don't want to say seniors, but I guess that's what the population is, right? Seniors.
Yeah.
I don't know what the requirements are. They just come in there and get their will updated and
or get one, or if they want one. Yeah, most people don't have it.
Right.
And you know what usually happens? Somebody in their family or a friend will die and they'll find that they had no will and they're like, oh shoot, I should get a will. Yeah, maybe, you know, you're 400 years old, you might not see them.
You know, that could very well come out of the committee here on, bring them in.
Okay,
well,
300.
One of the things though is, and I'd like to, I think I mentioned this last month or the month before, we diverted $100,000 to the Office of the Aging to do legal services for things like evictions, mortgage, you know, issues with mortgages, and I want to see how many, you know, what are the clocked hours of the attorneys helping people who are being evicted from their homes or who can't pay their mortgage and is going to lose, you know, their house to a foreclosure.
So let's ask Office of the Aging if they have that information.
I know that's not totally what this is about.
No, the legal services do a lot of that.
Right.
People are put out in the street or threatened to be put out, they step in.
And the only reason why I mention it is because it was my budget amendment, but it was changed from giving $200,000 to legal services of the Hudson Valley.
Yeah, who makes
to $100,000 to Office of the Aging to do the same thing. And I don't know how many seniors still even have a mortgage. The only thing we're doing is at this point in your life, the county's taking your home for taxes. It's got nothing to do with your mortgage payments. So I wonder how effective something like that. A program like that for Office of the Aging is.
I can't answer that, but you know, there's a lot of folks.
You think a lot of seniors still have mortgages?
Not just mortgages. A lot of folks have problems, and they don't even know where to turn. And you want to go to an attorney, and they want $500 retainer or $1,000 retainer, and this gives them an opportunity to get. You want to say something?
No, when when all the houses were growing left and right, people were taking out set mortgages just to go on vacation.
Right.
And so a lot of seniors are stuck with us a mortgage now.
Can we have Jay?
Well, I think what the problem is that, and that's the question that we started with, and your $200,000 turned into 50 and 15.
They got tickets.
50 to the Office for the Aging, and this is what they're doing with that money, and 15 to probation to bring an already dedicated amount of funding up to 50, so 35 I'll go with, and they haven't used any of it. So your 200 was split into two 100s, and then reduced to 50 and 15.
All right. Okay.
So maybe we can ask Office of the Aging if, you know,
eviction services,
if what they've done, because then next year maybe we can look at, maybe you don't need $50,000 for this type of stuff, but you need 54. I don't know.
whatever.
You know, a little of this, Tommy, came up because the legal services, I think they're over on Hurley Avenue, and they don't get much funding from around here. They're part of the legal services of Westchester, and they're funded through other governments, and their comments were, if Ulster County doesn't want their services, then they should just maybe move. I don't know if they have. I don't know if it's still a threat. I really don't know.
Well, let's find out. You know, everybody always wants to know the answers with the money we spend, so let's find out.
I mean, well, that was their...
We're not spending money on
that. Yeah. Yeah, maybe nobody's approaching Office of the Aging or Probation.
Wilson's power of attorneys, I mean, it seems to me like that's what they're advertising over there. Come in and get your will and your power of attorney and your health care proxy. But nobody knows about the other services that Office of the Aging is supposed to provide, like if they're in foreclosure.
I mean, can I ask...
Who's going to advocate them in a foreclosure hearing? Are they going to do that? There was no policy set for that money. It was just for legal services. If I'm a senior and I'm going to lose my house, can I ask
help from them? Yeah, but that's what I said. Let's find out from them. Yeah. Well, what are the questions asked of them?
Can I ask a quick question? Are these services for like people that don't have the resources to hire a lawyer, or can anybody go to Office of the Aging if you're old, if you have the age
requirement? I think anybody can.
But I mean, if you're hit the lottery for $200 million, should you get a free services that we're paying
Probably could try. Listen, one of the problems is there's been a resolution and proposals passed to fund this thing where these same questions should have been asked by the committee or by somebody.
So
I'll try to follow up on it. But let's not fool ourselves. Government is so complicated, and that's why these guys have problems getting stuff. Right. You can have all your things laid out.
Ask them over.
But when a very specific thing happens, it's
12 days.
You're not going to get it sometimes. Right. Well, this could have been resolved in committee.
This was the same question, but we don't know. Never went to committee. This was a last-minute budget amendment.
Because they needed it and wanted it.
No.
Because they didn't want to give it to legal services in the Hudson Valley.
Yeah, but Carl, if you remember correctly, you brought it up as a last-minute amendment.
Well, they had sent a letter in early.
The budget process.
Yeah, and
they had sent a letter in early.
Hudson Valley Legal Services, they do very well for themselves. If you look at their figures on what their attorneys make and things, they do very well for themselves.
So is the attorney right here.
Well, maybe.
For 6 hours over 8 hours of work a month.
Mm. Yeah, but it's $100 an hour.
Right.
Those guys are starting at probably $400 or $500 an hour. Hudson Valley, look at the...
Those attorneys?
Yeah, look at the money they make. Because it's available. Look at the money they make. And I think you'll be shocked.
I bet it's $250
You'll be
$300.
Shocked, Rich. Shocked.
Well, but they may charge that, and that goes to their office. They may not charge that.
They do pro bono work. All of their work is pro bono. They don't charge the clients anything. That's why they need the funding. They don't charge the clients anything. Well, we're not charging them either.
Let's see what happens from the Office of the Aging. Let's see what's coming in.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe you could use better somewhere else.
Moving on.
So could I ask a question about what you just finished? Could we get a figure on how many hours of legal services we get for $100,000 or $50,000?
Well, we have that. It's
from each of them?
It's $100 an hour.
I have to tell you, I am going to ask the controller's office to do a quick audit on this and let us know the next month.
And we don't give them money.
That was brought up at the time.
Well, she's just asking. How much are they getting?
She's asking Hudson Valley Legal Services what they charge per hour.
Because that was brought up, they're not a vendor.
I'm saying these folks,
Office of the Aging is using the money.
But they charge $100 an hour. It's right in the tickler for what they're paying them. They're charging $100 an hour.
And because the other group isn't a vendor, we don't have any information about it. I think that there was information presented at the hearing.
Yeah, I think they submitted
the
number of
cases
and Ulster County people that they saw.
Is it in the budget amendment?
I think they had done that.
Okay. It was attached to the budget amendment.
All right. So maybe we can get that information.
But it's neither here nor there. I mean, I had personal experience, and I didn't even know it was legal services of the Hudson Valley. I had a constituent who had got a mortgage and then got laid off. And she came to me and she asked me what to do, and I was friendly with RUPCO. And I had asked Kevin O'Connor, what, you know, I heard you have programs for people. And he said, send her over. We've got a program we could starve off mortgage payments for a year. Little did I know, they use legal services in the Hudson Valley to advocate for my constituent to starve off her mortgage for a year. She got back on her feet, and she paid her debt back. And that's not something that we're getting out of this money.
And I know, but I know some.
It's an unfortunate set of circumstances.
I know some folks who are friends of legislators,
right,
who,
but if somebody
had customers that,
for that anyway,
got in trouble and didn't, they didn't get their money, and they felt that the taxpayers shouldn't be shortchanging them.
So let's see what.
In other words,
let's see how it comes back. Maybe we don't need $50,000 for this. We could put that money somewhere else.
Well. There's a lot of, yeah, we can find out. But there's a lot of folks that have a lot of problems.
Oh, I know.
A lot of problems.
Right.
And,
I mean, wills are important.
And you know, the funny part about it is,
it could be done, I mean, if there are these Bloomberg, you know, it could be done, it doesn't have to be done by a lawyer to show them how to do that. You could do your will yourself if you have the form, no?
No, because only in New York do you need an attorney to, like, go to the bathroom unaided.
You know,
you can, yes,
they
you can
do
fill
it themselves,
out,
you but can, you can't help them if you're not an attorney because you're practicing law without a law.
They can do all of that, and they can, like, I'm a notary, and they can come to me and I can notarize it, but I can
guarantee. No, we can't notarize a will.
Yeah, I think you can notarize it.
No, wills cannot be notarized.
But it's no good.
It's like the only thing I remember from notary.
It's no good, though, because it's still subject to surrogate's court. So you can't do your own will.
I didn't know
and
that.
Swear to it and everything.
And you need two people to witness it.
Just like an attorney. You know, New York, I think, in California, the only two states where you have to have an attorney do all your real estate transactions.
You know,
keep some business.
We can move on. No, because the funny part about it to me is the Legal Aid Society is pretty dedicated to what they try to accomplish. They're a non-for-profit. We've got non-for-profits crawling all over this place. But that one wasn't one we wanted. We wanted to keep that money in-house. And it makes you wonder.
Well, wait,
why do we want to keep it in-house?
John, I didn't see Hudson Valley Legal Services as, like, legal aid, not-for-profit. I think there are three completely different things there.
No,
I didn't see Hudson Valley.
They're not a law office.
Hudson Valley Legal Services?
They are non-for-profit. They're not like O'Connor and Murphy or whatever.
No, but
their names are.
But they're like, do we cheat them and how? Like,
I don't know.
They
about
got
that.
Look at the money those attorneys make, and then you tell me they're not for profit.
I can't tell you what they make.
We don't know.
Look at their funding from Westchester County and Dutchess County and
so
Rockland. And all, they get funding from the government.
But you know,
so that they don't have to have their own attorneys do it.
How much? All these non-for-profits that we either accept federal or state grants, WEPCO, how much do their executives make? Have you ever seen?
My point is,
Family Woodstock, or am I complaining? But we're giving a lot of money to these organizations.
When I think of, like, Prisoners Legal Services,
I can look it up.
They're the young attorneys itching their way up.
I know.
And learning
that
way.
Saying.
That's not Hudson Valley Legal Services. But let's look at the numbers and so we're informed come budget time. It is worth our
while. We have to do it in context with resolutions because this is really, that's not what this committee does.
Well, no, but in context of the resolution, let's look at what the money that we give to the Office of the Aging, what it gives us, and what was offered that we didn't accept from Hudson Valley Legal Services, and then come budget time, maybe we say, you know what? We didn't get our money's worth, and we're better off going with the Hudson Valley Legal Services.
Well, it's going to be a little bit. Yes, we can do that. It's going to be up to them to keep soliciting and keep promoting, or move out of town. And that'll be the best job creation program that we've got going for us, you know? They lose 6 or 8 or 10 attorneys, and they go to Poughkeepsie. You can say, well, we didn't want that business to start with.
I'll say this one last thing, and I'll say it quickly.
Go ahead.
Okay. Anybody who owns a rental property that has tenants and does not allow legislation like this to go through, it's a conflict of interest. Because this company, Hudson Valley Legal Services, does exactly what those people don't want them to do. They don't want representation to stop an eviction. And I'll just tell you, I was contacted by 5 developers in this county asking me not to bring that budget amendment forward. solely for the purpose, and I'm going to tell you something, our legal counsel also has rental properties.
I have a rental property, well, but I don't worry about it, because the bottom line is, in my hometown, if they go to the judge keeps staving it off anyway. It'll be, they go 6 months without paying, and then eventually they leave on their own. They
no,
never
I understand
pay.
That.
And
I
it's a game. That's why there's people that move every 6 months.
I'm always being told
I've got
not
the
to
same
vote
two
for
people for the last 25 years.
Resolutions that have no money attached to them because I work there and I don't, because I don't have a conflict of interest. But I could see a conflict of interest.
As I said before, I know some
properties.
People who are friends of legislators who had real problems with it.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean that the folks that needed the council didn't need it. They have problems and maybe needed it.
All right.
Other times they're taking advantage, no question about it. All right, the only other thing that I want to talk about, I'll bring up next week, I'm going to be looking to find out who the people are that are getting the free energy from our pumps around the county. We had a list of all the ones that, like, generic, but they got to stick a card in. I don't need any card number. But we have to know who the people are.
Well, we know. We're able to know that?
Well, if you brought your card in, you got a little card, they would. It has to be applied to something. Something.
Yeah, but isn't the Ulster County Chamber of Commerce paying that bill?
I don't know.
No,
are they?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, they're not.
I'd still like to know who's doing it
to the county.
To me, it's a conflict of interest if somebody works in the county building and goes out and gets it. Well, if somebody works for the DA's office or the justice system and gets it.
I said that about Manny Joe, and council said no. I asked council. I said, Manny Joe's voting for it. She's got an electric car.
It is a conflict of interest for anybody like that.
Council said no.
And I do think...
Chris, and I ask Erica.
I do think public relations wise.
Because it's.
That's not true.
But I still say it's wrong. I still say it's.
Well, it is wrong.
I agree.
And just because somebody says it doesn't mean it's correct.
Listen, if we went to court over it and sued the executive, the legislature would win. You can't give away free services.
Right, but that's why.
Can't do it.
The escape was the Ulster County
you can't
Chamber.
Do it.
I would just like to,
we're
publish the names of the people that
state
are getting
can do it.
It.
We can't.
That's all. Just publish the names.
It's pretty simple.
And it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
How many of them own a Tesla that are getting this gas?
Yeah.
Maybe one or two?
First
or
all,
gas?
People
energy.
Using.
Yeah, but we can't single out people like that. Publicly publish their names.
If they're using our services, it's public record.
Do we publish the names of people who get social services?
No, it's not social services. You can get a list of people who are vendors for the county who get a check for something.
Even more importantly, I'd like to know how much
too.
It costs the county for those charging stations first, and then look at where the money comes from, and then get a copy of the check. If we got one that reimburses.
Listen, I would accept everybody's chicken. I'd love to find somebody to take the county to court just for fun.
Well, you know what? Last month, 2 months
just
ago,
for
or last
fun.
Month,
I'll raise the money to pay them.
At the environmental meeting a month or two ago, we got a list of the zip codes or the states from where people are using them. It's not tourism. It's Kingston zip codes.
Yeah.
It's Cottakill zip code.
Look at the one in Elmore. It's at the Trudy Farber Resnick Center.
Yeah,
it's
were,
three blocks
like,
from the center of town.
Like,
but it was sold that it was good for
like
tourism, and they're all local zip codes.
John, you're preaching to the guy that's singing the second hymn. I'm the choir.
Well, I'm going to follow up on it next time.
That may be somebody that works in Kingston.
What's that?
Parks their car there. Because it was like 30 times.
Okay, that's...
So probably it's less than 5% are actually people coming here to shop. The rest is 95% are employees of the county, employees of... A local business somewhere else that are
county
close
cars.
To one of
them. County cars.
Well, no, the county cars are wild.
If you live in Kingston, it could border on criminal to come up here and charge your car when you could do it in your own house.
Or you could pay for it like you should be
doing. But not the way it's set up now.
Well, that's why.
And even more than
Why would you go to a free one when you could get it?
Why would I go to my house when I get it for free?
Yeah.
Well, because
why would you go to get it for free when it's your house?
Like 66 cents.
Why would you get a
freaking car?
Why would you get a free one when you can do it? Wait a minute. Because you want to save money. Well, what about the rest of the world that wants to put in electric heat? This is a phony. It's a scam. And the ironic part about it is, well, it doesn't matter.
It's
15 people.
Oh, I know.
10 people
I'm sure.
are using 95% of the
oh,
services.
Oh, sure, yeah.
That
well,
was
maybe
pretty...
we could.
And it should just be publicized. If they want to keep doing it, it's okay.
Yeah, maybe we could start charging the general public for these stations, then put up another separate station.
Listen,
the
legislature
where you
voted
crank
for
the box like
yeah,
this, but and it was you charge vetoed. A car. That's for free.
The legislature right. voted for it to
you
charge.
You can charge it for free,
but it was
or
vetoed.
You pay to get the
take,
plug.
Take the water away from Carl now.
Okay.
We've got a couple little rodents on a treadmill.
You know, they make those solar-powered flashlights.
A couple rats.
You know,
around
can I make a motion to adjourn?
I'll
make a motion to adjourn.
Go ahead. Before I say it, because there's plenty of rats around here.
A motion to have the legislative attorneys file a lawsuit?
You don't need a motion. We'll try to get it, and if not, the next time, we'll foil them.
No, the records are public. We already saw them.
They should. If they don't want to give it to you, they
gave
you some song. They didn't give you the names. They
no,
said, oh,
could,
we don't have the names.
No, but you could tell when somebody from Red Hook Zip Code did it 33 times and somebody from Cottonkill did it 27 times and two people in Kingston.
I know who they are.
Katrina, yeah, you know who
I know who they are, but why don't they why don't they publish the names? I know who they are.
Yeah, well, listen. That's
three of them work for the government.
To me, it's not a name issue. It's the issue we're giving away for free.
It is a name issue. It is a name issue. When you could be charging at your house... If it wasn't such a phony to say this will increase tourism.
Yeah, it hasn't increased tourism. It's
we haven't had the program.
That's right.
In place.
Motion to adjourn. Second, all in favor. Carry.